I think we have been protecting civilians that have been seeking refuge in our bases numerous times. I think a total of at least 12,000 people have been protected. And we have also positioned our troops in preventive actions in many locations and hotspots around the country. And so that's one important achievement in my view. We can always do more. Secondly, I would highlight police reform. What our police contingent is doing in cooperation with the South Sudan Police Service is really making transformation happen. I would highlight the third area, which is in also rule of law. There has been significant work done to improve and strengthen the work in justice.
And what do you see as some of the key challenges moving forward and into the future?
We've had a very tough start for the new and independent country. We are here to support them, and the peacekeeping mission can only achieve as much as the government is in a position to move forward with the context and the challenges it faces. Zhongli has been a priority for the mission for a long time because it is in this area we face the greatest challenges in the protection of civilians area. And clearly, while we invested significant both energy and resources to help stabilize Zhongli and promote peace, with in the first year of the mission alone, more than 3,000 flights were conducted with military deployments, with supporting the peace process, with making sure that community chiefs and elders and leaders could meet and try to resolve their differences, preventing the cycle of violence from taking off again. We experienced a setback in July, August, when the David Yao Yao armed group really started much more significant activities. And this, of course, has also now impeded the stabilization of Zhongli state. And we are in a position now where we, at least with our military deployment, hope to be able to protect civilians. We have tripled the numbers of troops in the area.
In the aftermath of the ambush of a UN convoy in Zhongli earlier this year, have there been changes to how UNMISS is operating in the region?
No, it has strengthened our resolve to continue the mission and the mandate and implementing the mandate of UNMISS. And I think the only implication it has is that we are, in our threat assessment, making sure that what happened is key, is factored in, so that increased force protection is happening when anyone is moving on the road.
If you could describe the relationship between UNMISS and the government of South Sudan.
Any UN peacekeeping mission is working with and in support of the government, of the host government. And the reason, of course, is that we're here to try to stabilize the country. And in the case of UNMISS, in our mandate, to extend state authority to help with core state building and peace building functions. These are essential elements. And it can only happen with a stronger government. So we need to make sure that that partnership works.
And how do you view civilian perceptions of UNMISS?
I think in relation to the public, we've had two big challenges. One, there is a problem when UNMISS double S sounds as UNMISS 1S. And we had a lot of challenges in the beginning, and we probably still have, where perceptions around the former mission with its seat and its headquarters being in Khartoum were actually impacting this mission. There was a very major difficulty in distinguishing between the two. And of course, this mission has a totally different mandate, a totally different approach, and its headquarters is in Juba, and we're devoted to South Sudan. This was a major challenge, and it still is, because a lot of the perceptions related to the former mission are, of course, inherited into the new. That's one big challenge we have. The second big challenge we had was during the crisis in March, April, a little bit prior to that as well. The perception among people was that the mission was here to support the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of South Sudan. It was supposed to be a support mission for the independent country. They thought that implied that we would be a buffer against any potential aggression from anyone across the border. Of course, this was not the case. Our mandate was not to be deployed along the border and to be that buffer. There is another mission that is supposed to do that, which is the Joint Border Monitoring and Verification Mission, the JBVMM. It is being established as we speak.